Welcome to Get Real with Dr. Ronay, Doctor of Clinical Psychology and Trauma Specialist. Dr. Ronay Calvert is Executive Director of Live Treatment Concierge Services. Live Treatment provides a unique wraparound approach of concierge services in person and virtually, specifically tailored to each client with a level of effectiveness that transcends any other program. In her daily experience of guiding clients to recovery and emotional freedom, Dr. Ronay Calvert gets real to shed light on subjects that have remained in the shadows with courage and compassion. Joined by Bindi Height, international spiritual coach and mentor from Ethical Change Agency, with the mission to inspire change makers and holistic healers to create collective change to make the world a better place through the power of human connection, purpose, and podcasts. It's time to get real. Hey, Ronay.
Hey, Bindi. Hi, Karen.
Hello there.
Now, we have a special guest today, Karen Connolly. She's the author of 11 books of poetry, fiction, and creative nonfiction. She's a writer, educator, and therapist in private practice. And in her online institute, the Courageous Writers Academy, she teaches professional editing techniques and trauma-informed self-care in a supportive communal environment. As a therapist, she specializes in trauma, creativity, and spirituality, and often uses the somatic and brain-based psychotherapy called Observed and Experiential Integration, otherwise known as OEI. Karen lives with her family in Toronto. Her other home is in Greece, where she is active in supporting several healthcare initiatives for the refugees who are often forced to stay on the island for indefinite periods of time. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you so much. It's great to be talking to you.
So glad to have you.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're super curious, and I know Ronay works a lot with somatic therapists. Can you tell us exactly what somatic therapy is and how it's practiced?
I'm not sure if I can tell you exactly what it is, because by now there are several different forms of somatic therapy. And different practitioners, different psychotherapies that use soma, that use the body, a Greek word for body, approach the work of body, brain, mind, care a little bit differently. The work that I do is called, as you said, Observed and Experiential Integration. So it's called OEI. And it was developed in Canada, in Vancouver, by a wonderful family therapist, psychotherapist named Audrey Cook and her colleague, Rick Bradshaw. So they were working together about 30 years ago when EMDR as well was just starting to be taught publicly and practitioners were starting to learn about it and use it. And EMDR is a therapy that uses the eyes. So we kind of move into our emotions and our memories by doing bilateral eye work in EMDR. Well, actually, EMDR uses both the eyes. And Audrey, in fact, discovered that when she had a client with a lazy eye, she realized that she couldn't use both of the person's eyes at the same time. So she began to ask this client to cover her eye one at a time. So she used some of the EMDR techniques and discovered that there was a completely different way of working with emotional content, traumatic memory, and the eyes, but not using both of the eyes, using one eye at a time. And that was the beginning of a new investigation, a new form of psychotherapy. And OEI is a completely different form of connecting to soma, connecting to the body, connecting to the brain, and connecting to memory and sensation. So one of the most basic techniques is covering one eye at a time while working with different triggers and emotions that arise. And I have to say, it's absolutely incredible to see how our brains react to one eye being covered versus the other eye being covered. The theory and the reality is that though our eyes are, each of our eyes are very much connected to our brains, the left eye is more connected to the right side of the brain. The right eye is more connected to the left. So we're actually accessing different responses, different memories, different sensations when we cover one eye and use the visual stimuli to investigate that side of what's stored in the brain. So we're working, the theory is that we're really working with different neural maps. And by covering and uncovering the eyes, we start to allow the different sides of the brain and different areas of the brain to communicate with each other better. So that's the integration piece of OEI. The observed piece is looking out of your eyes, feeling your feelings, responding to the triggers that the therapist helps you to find as a client, and then integrating those sensations, thoughts, memories, the feelings. So it's really left brain and right brain integration. And it's been around now for about 20 years. And it's my mission in the second part of my life to make it more well known. So as an author, as a writer, I do plan to write about OEI. And I have written about it a little bit, but I'm now working on a book that describes this really incredible psychotherapy.
Well, it absolutely sounds incredible. It is incredible. And mm-hmm. as someone who prides herself in always looking for unique and out-of-the-box modalities to get at, you know, the back door, as I call it, you know, the entryway into releasing trauma that is stored mm-hmm. in the brain, that is stored in the brain stem and all throughout the body. Let me tell you, I will help spread the word because I am a huge, huge believer in that work. And the idea that Audrey took something so pivotal in one client's life and was able to tap into how to actually make that into something that not only worked for that one individual, but expanded upon it to say, wait, there has to be a way to get at this from a different angle. And isn't that what truly individualized therapy is really about? Yeah. It's about
Exactly. That's one of the things that is really special about OEI. EMDR, which I've studied at a kind of basic level, is very useful for some things, for sure. And it has its protocols, right? You sort of step through EMDR, you know, scale by scale and number mm-hmm. by number. But OEI is very, very individualized, and it's so subtle and so client-based that, and so much about that particular client's brain, reactions, memories, you know, physical abreactions, like what is actually coming up for them when they experience. It's also very useful for working with addictions, eating disorders, when they experience their triggers. So whatever those triggers are, even if they're not necessarily PTSD triggers, OEI, the skilled practitioner can respond so specifically. You break away from the protocols of EMDR and the, you know, the numbers and the sort of scales. We don't need that because it's a very, you are literally working with a person's brain. And I would love to show you a session. We could, you know, sometime actually make a date and I can show you a little bit about how it works because.
Oh, sign me up. I'm ready.
It's very, very effective for working with addictions. And one of the things that you know, that's really important about understanding Audrey's work versus Rick's work is that Audrey mostly works with a highly traumatized population in Canada, like in the United States. Indigenous people have a tragic history, residential schools, colonization, addictions. You know, they've suffered so many, so much intergenerational trauma. And so Audrey and her clients have been able to work together to really create a therapy that is for severely traumatized people. So, you know, sometimes in the hands of unskilled practitioners, any therapy can be dangerous, right? Any modality can be dangerous. But trauma therapies especially can be so dangerous, so re-damaging when somebody's just following a manual, because that's not really how any therapy should work. I mean, we're healers. We're trying to heal something very deep. And it's just been, for me as a human being, it's been such an education to learn more about this particular kind of therapy as a therapist. And it's still, you know, it's interesting. We were talking before and you said, you know, there's still a disconnect between brain, body, spirit. And for me, sometimes it's hard for me to remember that. In my work with my clients and the way that I have learned with Audrey Cook and Rick Bradshaw, there seems to be no disconnect. It's all of a piece. You know, you say the back door. Well, the eyes are the front door. The eyes, we go right into our brains and our bodies through our nervous systems with the eyes. So you're absolutely right. There is a huge disconnect, but because this work is so intuitive, profound and scientific, I kind of forget that when I'm working, I kind of forget that, you know, people are still just trying to use words, which so often doesn't work for traumatized people, because Broca's area in the brain, it doesn't work very well. That whole language area in the brain called Broca's area basically turns off when we're working with trauma, you know, with trauma abreaction and when we experience trauma. So yeah, it's just amazing to be able to do that level of work in it's a very pure way of working, because it doesn't necessarily rely on words.
I think it's so important that it doesn't, because as a trauma specialist myself, I have to tell you that I have witnessed so many people who do not understand as practitioners, who hold these very special and sacred lives in their hands, who are so vulnerable and so raw, and they believe or have such a lack of understanding that for the client to discuss and, you know, go over, you know, over and over again, this trauma. Mm-hmm. What you know and I know as practitioners is that when we are in our trauma state, our brain does not recognize our chronological age, our mm-hmm. state of being. We are at the age and the feelings and the emotion and the even, you know, body that we were in. We're experiencing all of the things that we were experiencing at the time of our trauma. So mm-hmm. we have only the coping mechanisms that we had at that time. And so as you're going through and discussing these very traumatic experiences in the hands of someone who believes that the more you discuss it, you're yeah. actually kind of flushing it out, the opposite is actually true. You can re-traumatize yourself in a very profound way and literally get locked into this trauma cycle where you're not in your present state, where you're not in your present body, where you're not doing the kind of work that you're talking about, which is being, you know, collectively with your clinician, a healer of that inner trauma, but you are your trauma in that mm-hmm. moment. And there are so many clinicians who believe that the more that we talk and flush it out and get, you know, the more we cry and have these, you know, enormous reactions, we believe these are breakthroughs. Not at all. No, not at all.
Definitely not.
You can really run the risk of re-traumatizing somebody mm-hmm. by not understanding the pacing, the individualization that this takes, that there is no one size fits all, especially when it comes to trauma. It's so individual. And there's so many different types of trauma, Karen. I mean, as you know, I have clients all the time that say, you know, well, my friend was, you know, experienced this horrific sexual abuse and torture for 10 years. And, you know, and I was only, you know, I only had this experience of mine. And they do this comparison thing. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, there is no comparing one trauma to another. That's why it's so important that it's such an integral piece to look at the individual themselves and to recognize and honor that the work that they're doing and the work that they're experiencing, you know, it can be so shaming for them to compare themselves to, well, why am I having such a terrible reaction to this? You know, my trauma is nothing as compared to what I've seen these other people go through. And as we know, you know, the way our brain interprets what has gone on, especially when we hold ourselves to blame, and it's not what happened to us, or it's not what happened, you know, back then, but it becomes an identity. I am my trauma. Yeah. I am broken. You know, it becomes a source of shame, you know, and a source of embarrassment. And, you know, to be able to free somebody from that and help them find a way out where they're actually being able to be part of their own healing process, mm-hmm. it requires such a specialized human being to walk someone through that trauma process. And it's so essential that our clients do their homework in understanding what level of education someone possesses and what type of modalities they're utilizing, because someone can call themselves anything and they can cause a lot of damage. And so it's really important just to psychoeducate our audience about, you know, really understanding what they're looking for in a practitioner. And if it feels like they're leaving a session feeling worse than when they walked in, or not feeling supported, or feeling like they're kind of opened up and left on the surgery table and everything's kind of hanging out and there's no putting them back together. That's such a scary experience that I've, you know, clients have come to me time and time again after having experiences like that. And
I know there's a real lack of, I don't quite understand, to be honest, how there can be, well, that's not true. I was going to say, I don't understand how there can be such a lack of expertise in treating trauma when there are now so many practitioners and so many skilled people, you know, doing good trauma work, from Peter Levine to Pat Ogden to, you know,
Karen Connolly.
and two really skilled, you know, EMDR practitioners and neurofeedback. But the fact of the matter is, the Psychotherapy Institute that I went through, that I'm actually still finishing up my last sort of clinical supervision tasks and duties with them, they don't teach. There was no, I've studied with them, it'll be 5 years, and there was no dedicated course on trauma therapy. There was lots of background and really, really good sort of historical learning and layers of theory. I mean, I've read it all and written the papers, and I've asked, but why are we reading Kohut, but we're not reading, you know, Van der Kolk? you know, like, or Judith Herman's, you know, seminal work on trauma. Like, why?
Absolutely. Complex PTSD, as opposed to every person that's ever been traumatized being diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. Thank you, Judith. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I have so, yeah. I mean, I love that.
So there you go. Like, I asked that question because I have two lives. I have my life as a psychotherapist and I have my life as a trauma counselor therapist who's learned this other modality while I've been, you know, doing all of my education to become certified as a psychotherapist in Ontario, which is a very long process. But I've been working as a trauma counselor with my OEI accreditation because I studied with both Audrey and with Dr. Rick Bradshaw. But so that question, like, why aren't people, you know, better? Why are our therapists not better at treating trauma and knowing that it's in the body, that trauma lives in the body, that we have to address the body and the spirit when we talk about deep pain and suffering? And it's because our education system doesn't know how to do it yet. They're 20 years behind. It is pretty shocking. And I looked at many different programs and that was a problem with all of them that I could see. So
for me personally, just to piggyback on what you're saying, all of my trauma work and trauma specialization, just as you say, there was no course in it, right? Mm-hmm. I have a very kind of unique way of looking at those who become trauma specialists and want to work with this particular set of digging deep and where mm-hmm. the root issues are. When we're going through schooling to, you know, to get our accreditation, our licenses, whatever, I think, you know, the idea is to touch upon a very general overview of what it means to be, you know, trained and, you know, all the developmental psychology, abnormal psychology, knowing how to diagnose, all those kinds of things. But yeah, to be a true healer of trauma, I really do believe that those of us who are real healers, we are born, not made. And what that means is there's an innate understanding. There's a set of experiences that we've had in our own lives that not what we want to use our clients as target practice by any means. In fact, just the opposite. We've done the work on ourselves and known the benefits of it. But I do believe that true healers, those that really understand this work on an intimate level, are those that came by it innately. We got our degrees, we got our doctorates, we got our masters, we did our hours to basically have the degree that went after our name. But the truth of the matter is that we were already who we were and already doing this work and knowing intuitively what it is that we needed to do, because those of us who are true healers and have walked through the fire know what it means to be a phoenix and know how to take somebody else through that process. And not that it has to be the same process that we've gone through, but especially to understand the individual process, you know, in schooling as well, they don't really teach individualized anything. It really is about, you know, here's the diagnosis and here's, you know, and, you know, yes, education is vital and it's important. But I think it's also very important that when we're looking for someone who's actually specializing in this work, that we really feel a connection to them, where it feels like they innately and intuitively understand what they're talking about, because that can't be taught. That's not something that can be taught in any sort of program. If you don't have that innate and intuitive understanding as a trauma specialist, as a trauma healer, that's not something that a school can teach you. Mm-hmm. A school can teach.
I agree.
You know,
I do agree. It is really specialized in a way that is kind of beyond the specialization that we have to pay for in school. You know,
I mean, it takes a special individual to want to do this work. It's not easy work, but it's some of the most rewarding, exceptional, profound. breakthrough work I could ever hope to do in my life. You know, do I work incredibly hard? Yeah. But do my clients work incredibly hard? Yeah. They're the heroes and heroines of their own story. I'm there to help them rewrite the narrative, you know, and that's the idea, is that, you know, it's not something, there's only so much that can be taught in school. And then there's really understanding whether someone has that intuitive sense and then innate capacity and understanding really as a human being. Mm-hmm. Our stories don't need to match those of our clients. They don't need to be the same, but mm-hmm. we do need to have known what it is to have walked through something and gone to the other side and mm-hmm. have a true appreciation of what we are walking clients through, because we've experienced it and healed ourselves. And so we have such a profound appreciation for what it means to give that gift to another. And I think mm-hmm. that's really what separates out those who have, their set protocols of what they learned in school, and those mm-hmm. that really are able to do the depth work that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And it continues to be, and I'm sure that, you know, you have the same or a similar experience. It continues to be really hard for people to find good therapists. Like, I just hear, I have my own horror stories about the time when I was young and searching for therapists to help me. And I, you know, those are my horror stories, but now I sadly receive clients who also have these very disturbing stories about, just how difficult it is to find truly healing therapy. I'm so glad to meet you and talk to you and just connect on this level of thinking about therapy as healing, as a intersubjective experience of healing. Like we are there for our clients, but their healing is also our healing. It's a very deep exchange. And I think that notion of having moved ourselves through our own traumas, healed our own material, it's very, very important to just publicly acknowledge that. Like, we are also human. We've also been damaged by this process called life, which hurts people in so many different ways, but also teaches us and gives us great gifts. So that the power dynamic between the patient or the client and the therapist changes. And we do, though we hold our clients and we are helping them, we're also acknowledging a shared humanity, a very basic shared humanity that, you know, and it's a check for us to watch the fact that we're, to be careful of the fact that we're the healer and they're the client. Like boundary, you know, all of the stuff around boundary, just watching our boundaries, holding the boundaries, teaching boundaries, embodying our own boundaries clearly. That's so, so important in trauma work as well. And in therapy generally, right? In all therapy. But I think sometimes the power stuff can get really mixed up for people.
I completely agree. I think that the most important thing we can be is authentic. And I think the most important thing that we can do is be human. And we have to recognize those that are looking to heal themselves through their clients and those that are meeting their clients where they're at and are saying, you can get to the other side. I've been there. I know you can. I'm going to believe in you until you can believe in yourself. I'm going to meet you where you're at. But it's a very different story to connect ourselves, our worth, our self-care, to almost embody the idea that our clients are supposed to in some way perform for us mm-hmm. and let them and make us feel as though we're validated because
we're doing a good job.
we're doing a good job. To me, the work that we do is so in depth that if it looks pretty all the time, Now, the outcome of it is glorious. Don't get me wrong. It's so worth doing. It's absolutely integral. It breathes life into something that otherwise was just in existence. We can all exist, but to truly live and live free is one of the most empowering things we can ever give ourselves or anybody else. But to meet someone authentically where they're at, and to understand that boundaries does not mean having a power differential where, you know, I always tell people, you know, the doctorate is there for you to know that I have the education. When you talk to me, please talk to me as a human being, you know, and the boundaries are mine to keep, not theirs. And we all have to be cognizant of when we're looking for our own self-worth and how a client is performing or doing, because they're very cognizant of that. And they'll end up performing and acting as if they are doing better than they are to please us. And how is that not a recapitulation of other things in their lives? They're not there to be something for us. They are there to allow us to contain and allow us to help them heal and allow us to hold the boundary. And that does not mean that we have to do that in some sort of power differential where they are less than, or they feel as though they are, you know, continually reminded, I'm the expert, you're the one who's sick. I think it's so important to say, to be able to meet as a human being and say, yes, you can entrust me with this. I have the knowledge and expertise to walk you through this. And first and foremost, I'm going to talk to you like a human being and be authentic with you. Because if we don't sound like human beings and we're not authentic, then how the hell are they supposed to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely true. And to, you know, to just bring it back to this particular modality, one of the things that I do love, especially about OEI, is that the client learns the tools themselves. So the eye covering work and the eye switching work, they learn how to do that themselves so that when they're out in the world and they get really triggered, they actually have a physical means of dealing with triggers and connecting into the body, like actually figuring out what's going on and to calming themselves down. Because most of us have an eye that is more reactive. And in about 80% of people, it's the right eye. So if I cover my left eye and I look out my right eye, if I'm feeling very emotional or I've had some twinges of, you know, traumatic memory or whatever, and I cover my left eye, I will feel it more intensely on my right side than if I cover my right eye and my left side is free. So that's something that we can do together. I'll show you more about that.
I cannot wait.
Work. It's incredible. It's incredible work. And Audrey and Rick, you know, they're just two people working in their small way in Vancouver, but they've sent their work out to various universities and professors, people who are in the trauma field, and no one has ever taken them up on it to, you know, add their work into a study or to start to learn and to start teaching their work, because as you also know, everybody is very territorial and wants to claim things and space. And so this incredible tool just continues to live in a small institute in Vancouver.
And not for long, honey. Not for long. Live Treatment is international. And I can tell you right now, we're going to do a session and I cannot wait for my clients to be introduced to this, because this is for me, you know, I pride myself in looking at every modality under the sun. Whatever you need, whatever my clients need, we will find it. It will be vetted. We will make certain you're working with the best of the best. And to be very honest with you, you know, with all of the trauma experience I have, because this has been capsulized, you know, because it has been contained within this, I am so excited to learn about this, because as you're describing it to me, I'm actually getting so excited about this new modality that it's not new, but it's new to the masses, you know, it
is,
and
it is new to the masses. It's practiced in Indonesia, in Korea. So they've done Rick and Audrey and their master trainers have done trainings in a few different countries in the world. Mm-hmm. And the institute is called Sight Psychology. So you can find that online. But again, if you look up OEI therapy, you'll see that on the West Coast of Canada, there are a lot of OEI practitioners, but it just hasn't moved out into the world yet. So let's work
welcome
together.
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome to your biggest advocate, because I have to tell you, I think, you know, then I saw her face, now I'm a believer. You know, it's honest to God. You know, I seriously, it's you know, I researched it, I did my homework on it. But to hear you explain it and the way that you do and your obvious connection to the work, that's what I'm looking for. If I can believe in it and it's something that I say, sign me up, I'd do it, I'd walk through it. I always tell my clients, I will never ask you to do anything that I would not be willing to do myself or have not done. And for me, this opens up a whole new window into getting really at does. Things. I mean, it really, really does. And it's so exciting for me. And this is why I'm so excited about this podcast that brings people together internationally, because to learn about this here in the US, where we pride ourselves in having, I mean, my goodness, we have treatment centers that are bringing in goats to do goat yoga. Okay. It's a thing. All right, we do.
I know. I have heard of it. I have heard of it. And yeah. I do love animals.
I do too. I do too. I'm just saying, if we can do that, we definitely, definitely need to be able to, you know, indoctrinate and promote something as powerful and as essential and integral to healing as OEI. So I'm just so excited to learn.
Amazing. It is amazing. Like I know I've already declared my allegiance. I think it's a really extraordinary therapy. It's an extraordinary psychotherapy. But I think that you know this too. I mean, I met Audrey as a therapist many years ago, over 20 years ago. I was a client of OEI when it was just beginning, when she had an idea about how it worked. She had a theory about why the different eyes were so, why we get such different reactions when we cover our eyes, and why we get breath releases when someone kind of finds a spot in the eye that's tremoring and you pull on that spot by doing a hand motion. She had ideas about this. But since she's had those ideas, MRI scans have basically proven her correct about, you know, the way that trauma shuts down certain areas of the brain, and how when we're opening up after traumatic experiences and healing after traumatic experiences, the brain structures, the areas of the brain actually do begin to communicate again. The neural map opens again. So absolutely. OEI is actually a way of working with our brains, with the neural map, with changing, finding spots of traumatic memory and actually shifting them.
And so shifting neural pathways, shifting the way that we actually, it's incredible. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, no wonder you are such a proponent and have gone through all the steps that it's taken, because the best of us have gone through it and have learned the benefits of it and go, sign me up. This is, I know that it worked for me. I know how powerful it was for me. And I just want to share this gift with the world. And mm-hmm. that to me is what true healers are really about. It's finding that amazing experience that was so transformative. And all we want to do is be a conduit to be able to give that to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Karen, I find the eye covering like just fascinating for me, because I spent the first 6 years of my life with an eye patch, because I was born with a strabismus. So I imagine, you know, what it's done to my brain, spending the first 6 years, training my eyes to straighten. So mm-hmm. I just find it fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it truly is. Like, I'm looking forward to, you know, reconnecting with both of you when you've learned more about it and possibly taken a train. Like, now, because of COVID, they never used to, Audrey and Rick and the trainers never used to do online training. But because of COVID, they're now training people online. And it's actually quite effective. I've done the second level and worked closely, very closely with Rick over last summer. And it was flawless way of learning the technique online in front of a screen, which I would never have believed previously, because my previous training with them had always been in person. But now that I've had, you know, the next level of training, and we did it on a Zoom screen. So it's been really valuable for me as a psychotherapist, because I've just been able to bring all of that knowledge to my clients, and I see it. I can see it every day. And sometimes people are so amazed by the eye work that they just, a common response is, it's so hard to believe that it's so different on one side compared to the other. Mm-hmm. I can't believe how this is working. You know, like, it's such a surprise for people to use brain, body, spirit in this very, very different way, to access brain, body, spirit in a very
that doesn't have way. To be painful or feel like you're being lit on fire.
Mm. No, it can be very gentle. We can go, you can go really, really slowly, very, very carefully. Like, I have been working with, you know, I have one client, it's been a year and we use OEI, but we're just starting to really touch into the really traumatic material. So it's very similar to other therapies in the sense that building a therapeutic alliance and coming to know the client and allowing the client to know and to trust you, building that trust is also very critical. But, you know, he's at a point now where he knows how it works. He knows what it is. He uses it in some situations, and slowly I can see that he's getting to a place where we'll be able to go to that more difficult material. So it's very, you know, it's very slow, and other people are prepared to dive right in, you know, and sometimes clients don't want to talk again, that problem of using language, they don't want to talk about it, or they can't talk about it. And we don't have to talk about it.
That's so important, because what you're really talking
about, and they just feel into their bodies. And then with the switching and some other OEI techniques, they can access the emotions, the feelings, and we can do some integration by going back and forth. And it can be resolved, like, surprisingly, with surprising deftness. You know, it doesn't have to be a 5-year therapy at all.
Well, the idea that you're really talking about is empowering people to become their own healers and to internalize those coping mechanisms. And isn't that what our work is all about, is empowering people to be able to be self-reliant? You know, I always say that my job is to put myself out of business, right? Yeah. That I'm always here. I'm always here if you ever need me. I want to know you for the rest of your life, but I don't ever want you to have to need me in order to be able to get through something. And my job is to make it so that you know that you are now empowered, that you now have internalized this work. You are the one in charge of this. You are now your own healer. And I'm just here to remind you that you had it in you all along, you know?
Yeah. You know, I asked Audrey, I don't know, a couple of months ago about, you know, her take on the therapeutic alliance, because in the literature, we read ad nauseum that the therapeutic alliance is the thing that heals, that the relationship between the therapist and the client is the thing that heals. It's the most necessary thing. And sometimes as I've, you know, because again, I'm still finishing up my education as a psychotherapist, sometimes this emphasis on the therapeutic alliance can feel a bit overdone to me. Like it can feel as though, you know, nothing's going to happen. You're not going to be able to do anything without this therapeutic alliance. It's this relationship that counts. And it takes me back to the years that I worked with Audrey when I was in my 20s. And, you know, we didn't have a very, there wasn't much therapeutic alliance. I didn't have a close counter-transferential complicated relationship with her. I had a very intense relationship with my material, and mm-hmm. she was this extraordinary guide and this very solid presence in my life. And I just trusted her 100%. I trusted her from the moment I met her. I trusted her from outside her in her office waiting room because she had granola bars, apples, and tea available for clients. And I asked her about it. And she said, yeah, well, I work with a lot of Indigenous people and they travel from far away and sometimes they're hungry and I always want to make sure that they have something to eat and drink. And those were years where I lived a lot in Asia and Greece, and hospitality is such a fundamental part of those cultures, of Southeast Asian cultures and the Greek culture. And so I was so moved by the humanity of her waiting room. Like she would feed people and give them tea. So I thought, wow,
She literally began nourishing them before they even walked through the door.
Yeah. And you know, in some of the manuals about how to practice psychotherapy, you read things like never eat with your clients or discourage eating and drinking in the session, or, you know, don't never accept any food, or like for me who spent so many years living in other cultures and languages, it can seem very dehumanizing. And so when I went into Audrey's waiting room, I was so touched by just exactly that, like somebody offering you nourishment before a session that might be difficult. So that was part of the therapeutic alliance, you know, granola bars and apples in the waiting room. But I asked her about it more recently, now that, you know, I have my own clients and I'm working and et cetera. It's many, many years later. And I asked her about therapeutic alliance. And she said, for me, the therapeutic alliance is the left brain integrating with the right brain.
She said
it's the brain integration which leads to, you know, somatic integration, so that you feel your body, you're alive in your body, and you actually know what's happening in your brain. And I thought, wow, no, maybe that's one of the reasons why, you know, the work is a bit intimidating to more traditional psychotherapeutic modalities, even in trauma, because of that emphasis on the therapeutic alliance and how important and central the therapist is to all things, you know?
Well, and what's so wonderful about the work that we do is that there is no one size fits all, and you can have both. You can have that psychotherapy and that therapeutic alliance and that guide, and you can have this other work that you do that's so integral and sacred. And the idea is, as long as you're working together as a team, and as long as you respect and understand one another's work, there's a place for all of it. The idea is understanding what the client needs, what the client wants, and what's best for them. It's about prioritizing them, not prioritizing ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's the true essence of it all. So let me ask you this. When I want to work with you and refer clients to you, I want an autographed copy of your book. I want it in my office. And then I also want to order one for every client who I work with, who's going to be introduced to you, because you've not only written profound poetry, but also just gorgeous, gorgeous books in which you are able to speak so openly and devotedly about these
very extreme and emotional experiences that are so relatable. How beyond having you an affiliate, of which now you are absolutely are of mine, how do people find you and are able to do work with you? What's the easiest way to access you?
You can find me just through my website, so Karen Connolly, and you can find my books on Amazon. You know, most of my books are either on Amazon, or you can look them up on my website and find a couple of the poetry books are published by smaller publishers, so it's easier to go to them directly. But my last book is a Penguin Random House book. My previous nonfiction and fiction are also Penguin Random House, so they're pretty easy to find I try to tell people to order books from their local bookstores. That's what I like to say, because of course Amazon can be pretty hard on booksellers. So you sure. can search out the books at your local bookstore or other.
Well, I would love for you to recommend a book for me to have for our clients that are in early recovery from addiction, dual diagnosis at the brick and mortar facility Revive, that is located in West Los Angeles. I would love to have copies of your book on hand. So if you could make that recommendation for me, I will make sure that I'm actually right now thinking about doing a group based on your work and taking
people through. Wow, that's exciting.
Taking people through the book and having them process as a part of their process work, you know, whether it's poetry or whatever it is that you select, because you know best what is going to resonate. So I would love that. And I will be purchasing a copy, but I would also love to have a signed copy for myself from you to keep in my office, because we are going to be working together a lot more closely. So
okay. I'm looking forward to it. And I don't know which book to recommend. Writers are tricky about this. You know, my last book is called The Change Room, and it's a very passionate, beautiful, sexy book full of relationships and sexuality and an affair and a marriage and children. It's a real domestic novel, but it's also about a woman who's becoming a therapist. It's about a sex worker. It's about a businesswoman. It's about a mathematician. It's got lots of story in it. It's about a big affair that changes a couple's relationship. But nobody dies. A woman has an affair in this book, and nobody dies. The woman doesn't die. Her children don't get run over. And the heterosexual marriage, the affair is between two women, and the heterosexual marriage does not end in divorce. So spoiler alert. It's a book about relationships that tells more truth about the complexity of human relationships. And doesn't do all of the things that get done to women who transgress sexually. You know, usually they do die in literary books and mysteries and stuff. If a woman has an affair, she usually has to be killed by the end. But I wanted her to instead have a dinner party at the end.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'd love to have you to a dinner party. Let's correspond more, and let's think about, because definitely the book that you're talking about, we just had a very special guest on in our last episode, who is a sex and love addict. And I just see, you know, that kind of a book relating so much to sex and love addiction and relationships and all of that, very much so. And then, you know, just the humanity of it all, and that the punishment doesn't have to be the shaming, you know, chop off her head kind of idea. But let's talk more about the type of book we'd like to offer, and something that would be really group friendly, because I really want to integrate your work into the work that we're doing on a group level.
and also on an individual level.
Mm-hmm. So, that would be wonderful.
From what I understand, Bindi, one of the biggest gifts we also give our clients is the gift of music, correct?
It is indeed. And in every episode, we share a song that we add to our playlist, which you'll find on Spotify. You just search for Get Real with Dr. Ronay. And Karen, what's your song?
My song is an absolutely gorgeous song by Dar Williams called After All.
If you can't see Karen right now, she's just filled with joy. Absolutely filled with joy. And your song, Ronay.
My song is Physical by Olivia Newton-John.
I love it. That's great. That's excellent.
And my song is Somewhere I Belong by Linkin Park. You, as I said, you'll find that on Spotify. Just search for Get Real with Dr. Ronay. And the meditation you'll find for this episode is called Let Go of What You Know. You'll find that on Insight Timer. Thanks for getting real with us, Dr. Ronay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Karen. Here's to a wonderful new beginning. Because there's so much more where this came from, and I can't wait to share our joint relationship with the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds great. Wonderful to meet you. Thank you so much, and thank you too, Bindi.
Thank you for tuning in to Get Real with Dr. Ronay. If you've loved the show and would like to experience coaching with coaches like Dr. Ronay or Bindi through Live Treatment Concierge Services, visit livetreatmentvip.com.